Make a better connection with your friends on Facebook. Use the hottest voice conferencing service around. Call from TalkShoe.com. That's Talk, like I'm doing now, and Shoe, as on your feet.com.
Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
I wonder if Jeff's wife has a name. I hope so.
What's up, everybody? This is Jeff Roney, and you are listening to Roney's Own Radio. And tonight, we are going to be doing a public service. Women all around the world are going to be envying you ladies, because for once, someone will be explaining chick flicks to Jeff Roney. Why are they worth sitting down for 2 hours and watching them? We will define terms. We're going to have just oodles of fun tonight. And I want to thank you all for joining us, because this is an important question. You know, I mean, a majority of a woman's movie-going life is drawn to these chick flicks. Now,
I can't wait to get into that and justify that statistic.
I would hope that you guys and gals have names of films that you are wanting to talk about tonight. And if not, I have a few written on a list here as well. So, first of all, let's kind of get to the conversation started. I do want to thank you all for showing up. I can't see a blame one of you. I can't even see the screen yet, but that's okay, because that's the beauty of a telephone. Let's unmute some folks when they're ready to talk, and let's define a couple of terms, because I know these terms will come up. They come up a lot in my conversations with my wife about movies and other things.
Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Can I define chick flick?
No. We're not going to we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's define the term fun. What does fun mean? Anybody?
Well, maybe as an adjective, it means bringing joy or entertainment or a lack of pain.
Because you understand why I bring that term up is because most of the time when it's something that a female would want to watch or a certain type of film, they would say, well, that's fun. Okay, this question is really going nowhere. So no one is raising their hand.
Jeff, that's a loaded question. I think we have someone here who'd like to talk. Let's
okay.
You are muted.
Hi. I muted myself. Go ahead and talk. I saw you had your hand raised, iSci-Fi TV wife. Well, that didn't come through very clearly. Wow, I'm hearing some weird audio noises.
Is it fun noise?
Hi, Jeff. Yeah, it was fun noise. I thought I saw a hand raised by iSci-Fi TV wife.
Okay.
That's fun. And that's the sort of fun that I think is meant when they say, hell, we should watch this movie. It's fun. Which means I'm going to laugh at it because I can look over at you when the guy does something stupid in this movie and go,
honey, you've done that.
Yes. All right. Now let's kind of jump into another one since that one went over so well. Cute. Somebody define cute, because sometimes it means color, another means, you know, it's a certain size. What does cute mean? Anybody? We have a quiet crowd.
Well, I think some of them are trying to get their mics working. Let me unmute Natalie and see if she has something to add. Oh, I see. Mel Gibson's butt is cute. So we're going to put that down here. Cute. C. Mel Gibson's butt.
Okay.
And John Cusack's dimples. No, oh, that's a great comment. Because you know, in Wikipedia, when they talk about chick flicks, they say, you know, there's a bumper crop of them back in the 1980s and 1990s. And John Cusack movies were all over the 1980s, often with him playing someone just getting out of high school. I think he got to do that for 20 or 30 years. That's...
All right. Okay. So the bottom line to our time tonight is this is not a serious discussion. This is not a O'Reilly factor. This is not Glenn Beck. We are not going to settle the final score tonight. But what this is a fun, using a female colloquialism, of a fun way to explain to me, Jeff Roney, and then through me to the rest of the males upon the earth, why chick flicks are cool, worth our time, what's interesting about it. Because, okay, here's the reason why. Let me kind of give you a glimpse into the male psyche. So please don't fall asleep, because we're just going
to
go through a few things here.
So, hello,
all right? Sleep, because we're just going to go through a few things here. So, all right? Sleep, because we're just going to go through a few.
Wow,
moly.
I think we had a nice feedback loop going there for a second.
Now, okay, guys like a few things here. And, and you know, we're going to keep it, you know, above board. You know, I know it's mostly adults here, but let's keep the quorum here. Guys like explosions and action, all right? Guys like chase scenes and some kind of a spacecraft or some kind of space something. Guys like lots of jokes, and shockingly enough, guys like the occasional pretty lady. Now, I know that, you know,
thanks, Charla.
That may seem a little strange, but I kind of wanted to set the stage here. So, also, I mean, obviously, we're going to have some ladies on the phone, you know, that are going to say, I'm not like that, I don't like that. I mean, tonight, really, we're going to go against the norm. It's not about the exception tonight. It's about generalities. So just like I said, you know, we're going to kind of have fun. Just and fun in the generalities of what a male would like or what a female would like about a chick flick, and you're trying to explain it to men, thick-headed men that don't understand. So we're going to kind of get started. Let somebody toss out one of their favorite chick flicks. So let's just toss one out there. Well, give me a title.
Kate and Leopold.
Kate and Leopold. Now, I have not seen that, and that probably is a shock. So if you can kind of encapsulate the story, kind of, you know, in a quick manner so that I kind of get the gist of it, and then we'll kind of talk about it.
Okay. Well, it's actually a time travel sort of flick, and it has Hugh Jackman and Meg Ryan. You know, Meg Ryan is like the quintessential chick flick. Like, if she's in it, you know it's a chick flick.
Yeah.
And in essence, he is from the past. He accidentally stumbled into the future. They think he's just an actor who's goofballing, saying he's from the past, and then they suddenly realize he actually is from the past, and she realizes, you know, she's in love with him and finds her way to go back into the past to be with him. That's the Reader's Digest version.
Time travel. Okay, I'm somewhat intrigued.
Really?
Okay.
Wow, okay.
Time travel, it's interesting. All right.
Alternate history.
Yes, history. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, Meg Ryan, kind of cute and perky.
Yeah,
Hugh
perky
Jack-
is a good word.
Hugh Jackman, you know, great as Wolverine. Can actually sing well. You know.
Yes.
Okay. No car crashes.
No car crashes. I think there is a carriage crash, if that counts.
Okay, carriage. Okay.
I like that. Inventive.
No space or any type of science fiction. Nothing. No lightsabers or anything.
No lightsabers. No special effects. It's more of a brain sort of science fiction.
Oh,
you have to use your brain.
I
yeah.
See. All right. Well, I don't know about that. let's see. Okay, so we've got Meg Ryan and Hugh Jackman, and he's not Wolverine.
No. But still in costume, and he still looks pretty hot in costume, so.
Well, hot for Hugh Jackman, I find that difficult to put together, but, okay, all right. Obviously, there is a love story here.
Yeah.
All right. You know, don't spoil the ending for me. All right. Okay. I mean, well, what could a man appreciate from the story? Is there a certain theme or something? Could you relate it maybe to a film that a guy would enjoy? Some type of connection or something?
Well, it's a little bit like Garden State in that, but a little bit more grown up than that, in that there's, well, I'm not saying Garden State isn't, I like Garden State.
Oh, well, all right. I've not seen that one. Okay.
And that
all
one's
right.
Not a chick flick, for the record. But
yes.
The main thing is that it's sort of a coming of age and integrity. The female lead sort of realizes that, that she's just doing what she does for money and for status, and that and she is challenged by this man from the past to realize that she's worth more than that. So there's sort of a character building thing there. So, you know, you've kind of got that coming of age or realizing what life is worth story undergirding what is a nice romance as well.
Does she wear any high heel shoes?
Oh yes, I'm sure.
Okay. All right. Well, that's okay. The stock goes up a little. All right. Okay. Because the whole integrity thing, I was kind of zoning out, and I just wanted to kind of, all right, there's no crashes, a carriage crash, time travel with a love theme, all about a coming of age and integrity. Okay. Let's move on. Garden State. Let's talk about that just a little bit. I'll give that a ding, and we'll figure out why in just a little bit. So, who stars in that?
In Garden State, it's Natalie Portman and
Ding,
Zach
ding, ding,
Braff.
Ding, ding. That's the one. Natalie Portman.
Yes, of
yes,
course.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I am.
Of her yes. Star Wars connections, no doubt.
Well, and she is one of the many reasons why God gave me eyes. So, Natalie Portman.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
And who is the gentleman who was in this?
Zach Braff, you know, from Scrubs.
Scrubs.
Exactly.
A funny guy.
A comedy, yes. All right. A very funny comedy television show. Now,
there's
now,
also a Gary Gilbert in that movie. Is he related to anyone on this talkcast?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
All right. kind of break down the story for me here, this Garden State film.
That one is, it's actually like a newer version of Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, okay.
All
right.
In my humble opinion.
Okay.
And it's, although it's kind of one of those things that, or you might even compare it to Napoleon Dynamite, where along the way you're like, this is very, very slow. The plot is not quick moving. It's lots of like small funny moments all threaded together, and ultimately you get somewhere, but it takes you a while to get there. No car crashes.
Boy.
A few drug references and unnecessary sex scene, but yeah.
Well,
Uncle Greco, why are we watching this movie?
Okay. Well, you've got Natalie Portman. Yeah, we have a love scene, it sounds like. A slow-moving story with some comedic parts threaded together.
Yeah.
Okay. No lightsabers and no slave Leia costume. Okay, well, all right. Garden State. All right. Jack, what's his name, directed the film, correct?
Zach Braff, yes.
That guy.
Wrote, directed, and produced or something crazy like that.
All right.
He wrote it, he directed it.
I think
so. Young guy doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's now go back in time. Let's do a little time travel ourselves here on this show. An Affair to Remember.
Oh, wow.
An Affair to Remember. Cary Grant and Deborah Kerr.
Okay.
Anybody? Anybody out there? Is Saweetie online?
Yeah, from the late 50s.
Yes.
And referenced in Sleepless in Seattle with Meg Ryan.
That is correct.
Bonus points for Natalie.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, so no other takers on that one?
That one seems a little sappy, but in that 50s movie sappy sort of way, I think.
All
films during that time were sort of that way.
All right.
It's romantic.
Trying to help the cause here.
It's romantic. I don't know. I mean, does just being romantic make it a chick flick? I don't know if that's enough.
I would hope not. I think guys are very romantic, at least the ones I know.
You know, we might be shy. We might not get 6 or 7 of our best buddies together to go say, hey, let's go see Beaches this weekend. Reminds me of when I was growing up. Or actually Steel Magnolia. You know, but then again, we might see it and go, maybe I could try that, make breakfast like that for her one day.
Now let's set a list now. What are 4 things that a chick flick must have?
Chick flick must have instructions on how to be better in your relationship.
Okay.
Relationship tips.
Oh
yeah.
Okay. All right.
I think it was how to lose a guy in 10 days.
Exactly. That's relationship tips right there. Right there.
Okay. All right. Okay. So relationship tips. Perhaps a second chance at love or something.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy always redeems himself. The woman gets proven that her investment in the guy was worthwhile.
Okay. And then there's always some type of a miscommunication or somebody sees something wrong and kind of takes it the wrong way.
The total threes company thing.
Yeah, and there's a I never want to see you again type of a moment.
Especially when it looks like they're going to be together, and then there has to be that sort of falling out where the relationship, which was so budding and we were waiting for, has to be challenged.
Yes.
Yes. And then the last moment is the running to the plane, the boat, the skateboard, whatever the transportation mode is, to go and reach the other person and to say, wait a minute, I was wrong. I didn't know that, you know, the sun was in my eyes and what I thought I saw was you, you know, saying you love somebody else, but actually you were saying somebody you love that, you know, dog in the park or something. So
had me at hello.
See? All right.
I think another thing, maybe it goes back to the funniness part, but 707. The phone rings sometimes in the movies. sorry about that. There's a quirk. I think either the male lead or the female lead ends up having some sort of quirk or something that sets them apart and a little bit different from everybody else.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it makes it even more interesting the fact that the other person overcomes that quirk to see what's really inside that person.
Speaking of quirks, let's talk about Steel Magnolias for a little bit. Now, this film had about 12 women in there from all kinds of different spectrums of time and acting and entertainment. There was Shirley MacLaine. She was in there. Dolly Parton.
She had three roles.
Yeah.
She channeled two of them.
You are
Kaiser. Kaiser, French, and something else. All right. Julia Roberts and the Flying Nun woman. That one. Anyway, what I find interesting is this was a play, and play to me means it's Latin for lots of talking, and so they pulled this play over and they made a movie of it, and there were some men in it, but a lot of times it was just about the ladies. Now I have to tell you, I really enjoyed Shirley MacLaine's role. I thought she was very unorthodox and loudmouth, and I thought she was a lot of fun. You know, I enjoyed that part. But then I didn't see the whole movie, but I understand someone dies. So it was kind of like, it was like the Agatha Christie, and then there were the 10 Little Indians there, and you kind of were guessing who was going to, you know, who was the one who was doing all. But this was, I didn't know who died. Now, somebody, can you tell me who died in this movie?
Whoever Julia Roberts played.
Ah, Julia Roberts. Now, that's a shame. Because.
Oh, Shelby.
Shelby, yes.
Shelby, all right. Now, Daryl Hannah was in this movie, too.
Oh.
She played a very conservative, quirky, weird Christian woman. Interesting.
Quirky.
Okay. Yeah.
A bit of a contrast from her Splash days.
Yeah.
At least that has sci-fi.
Okay,
yeah.
So Steel Magnolias, okay, you know, a family and, you know, it's a coming-of-age thing, isn't it, kind of? I mean, you know. She's growing up, and all of a sudden, you know, she has this sickness, and she doesn't know. I remember the thing about she should get married, she shouldn't get married, you know, and have children because of the issue, and then she dies. Somebody always dies in these things. There's some sad thing.
Well,
they died.
I'd agree with sad thing, but not a death.
Well, beaches. There's somebody died, wasn't it?
Yeah, somebody did die on beaches.
Okay. See, all right. Well, that's two out of a million. That's, you know, still pretty good odds from my point. All right. Let's see. Let me kind of skip forward a little bit here. Mean Girls actually came up. Is Mean Girls considered a chick flick?
I don't know. I mean, it does have a lot of chicks in it, but I think it's sort of just a teen movie in general. I could
be
wrong.
Okay. Mean Girls and Bring It On are two of my top chicky, flicky movies ever for me. Those are two just very, very funny female-oriented films. Okay. All right. Let's talk about The Notebook then. That was kind of a huge thing. Anybody? The Notebook?
You know, it seemed to me like it probably crosses over not just the chick flick genre, but the, oh dear Lord, I have lots of memories of stuff. I hope they don't disappear. You know, I've got parents. A lot of us do. Or have had, at least in the past. And it's a fact of life that people are getting older. Baby boomers and such are aging. And people live longer because their health is good. But sometimes things come up, like memory loss.
Okay, and so the sadness, to me, in my opinion about chick flicks, there's always some sadness, just some intense, whether it's unrequited love or ailing parents or death of someone. There's always some kind of just sad, and normally. Obviously, there's a crying scene, and it's just an awful, sad thing. How can you ladies really love a film that just makes you feel so sad? That's a big question, and I would like an answer to that.
I think that you have to be in the mood to watch it if you know it's going to make you sad. If you're talking about, like, the true tearjerker is, like, you don't just watch Schindler's List on any given night, you know?
Okay.
Jeff, I want to interrupt. Jeff and Jeff's wife are here to say howdy.
Hello.
Trial.
Is there something you'd like to say for the notebook, or should we jump into the whole lake house?
Trial.
Now, the loop I'm really enjoying. Okay. So
I wonder where it comes from.
So you have to watch these movies with deep sadness. You have to be in the right frame of mind for it. But it seems like there's a whole bunch of films that are made for mainly a female audience that have this just gut-wrenching some type of sadness that's just the most, I don't know. So, I mean, really.
You know what? Actually, here's my best conjecture for you, Jeff. I think it's an absolute plot of Breyer's Ice Cream just to get people sitting still and in desperate sorrow so that they have to break open a pint of ice cream.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, all right. I would go with you there. all right. Okay. So, let's see. I've never seen the. There it is again. I have never seen this Lake House movie. Is this another like a Sliding Doors or something kind of thing, or what do we got here? What's this Lake House deal?
Sliding Doors, it actually is much like Sliding Doors. The difference is that there's just a 2-year time difference between where the two characters are. So it's time travel, but just between 2 years. So as opposed to other movies where there's a 50 or 100-year time difference between the two main characters, they have the ability to play with the fact that they're much closer in time. So they're actually in each other's lifetimes at varying points. They just may not know they're part of each other's lives already.
And how could they possibly ever meet? They're separated by 2 years, and they use a pale box to talk.
Now, William.
Yeah.
We have to kind of be open to this
Trial.
You know time travel device. That loop is just incredible. And once I find out about it, it's going to be very interesting. Now, here's the thing. Here's what's interesting about a classic chick flick that uses something like a time travel device. They make it very uninteresting very fast. Because here's the thing. There is what was that other movie that was filmed with Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour?
Somewhere in Time.
See?
Yeah.
That one again uses time travel back and forth, and I've seen Back to the Future, and time travel can be very fun and entertaining, but
yes.
In these chick flicks, time travel can make you want to rather listen to an insurance seminar quick.
Are you serious?
It's not interesting at all to me. The final thing is. He's stuck, without his love, got it. But it's just, I don't understand. It can make something really interesting seem uninteresting to me. And I just don't.
Is it because of the lack of explosions or scientific, like, special effects?
Well, and that's kind of what I'm saying. There's no dog. There's no DeLorean. There's no, you know, Michael J. Fox. You know,
that's the dog. Because did you ever see that movie where it was the guy and he communicates through a wireless radio with his son?
Frequency. Yes. I know all the time travel flicks.
Okay.
I mean, that now, was a quote-unquote chick flick, but it had the sci-fi time travel, element as its plot device. And that, I mean, you could hang out with your buddies and be like, I'll do that for my boy, you know?
Okay. Now that at least sounds somewhat interesting to me, that whole frequency thing, because we have kind of a ghost thing, kind of a weird thing. And
it's thicker with electronics.
I know. But okay, that's interesting. Here's another thing I have this interesting opinion that women in chick flicks, in the normal average chick flicks, aren't as hot as they are in other types of films. And
misogynistic?
Well, possibly. Julia Roberts is very attractive, but in Steel Magnolias, when everybody starts talking, I'm just like, I don't know.
It's not about whether they're attractive for you to look at. It's about what's inside them. It's about the dialogue and the character development.
No one believes me, do they? I'm trying to be honest with the whole experience of sitting through a film. Now, I love to go to films with my wife, but we have been visited by Reese Witherspoon in her many films, Drew Barrymore in her many films, and, so anyway, it's just that's kind of, why we're here. I'm trying to kind of get the whole thing, and it seems like it's a very kind of a deep mental emotional experience. That's really what these movies are. They're about emotional feelings about relationships and that kind of a thing. I think there's one that I would consider a chick flick that is actually, I think, entertaining to guys. And it was probably one of the few films that I did not look at my watch for 3 hours. And it's Titanic. And I like to talk about that film.
Are you kidding?
Okay. Oh, you've got to be kidding. That was sold as a chick flick. You bought into it.
Okay. All right.
I mean, disagree with me, please.
So it's not a chick flick then.
It's Poseidon Adventure with a soundtrack.
It's all history and special effects, like blue screen, and you've got your little bit of nudity in there. Yeah.
Well, right. but I'm just saying.
So she agrees with you, Jeff.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of women really enjoyed the film, and I'm not sure whether it was looking at Leo. I don't know what. But anyway.
Maybe it's just a good movie, regardless of being, gender specific.
Well, I mean, for sure, I appreciate what Mr. Cameron did, and I think he's a great filmmaker until he did his last one. I think Titanic was a great film, and I think it was a nice blend between, I would say, interests of two sides of things. So, okay. Now, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Let's talk about that a little bit. I think what's interesting about that is the whole kind of exposing of the female stereotypes by the writer. I mean, it's the whole when a woman falls in love with the guy, she brings in the plants and straightens up the apartment and starts to kind of move stuff into his bathroom. I mean, did that bother women? Or was it like, oh, no, that's so true and it's so funny, ha, ha, ha. What? Come on. Anybody?
Now, I genuinely can't speak to that one myself because I haven't seen it. That sounds kind of funny, but it does sound bothersome by that description.
Okay.
Yeah, another comment from the chat room, never saw it. For the movie, it's funny because I think as a guy, you know, we know of those anecdotes and those stories, and we're worried
right.
about it. That's like a bad sign. If you're going to see a movie where guys have one of those chick flick type moments, that's the sort of thing that would come up in that chick flick type moment. You know, that and then going for a pedicure. But I actually saw it happen when I had a roommate, and, you know, he had this girlfriend, a nice gal, coming over, and one night, you know, I think I'd woken up after a football game and figured, well, it's time to go to bed after that nap. And there she was, coming down the stairs with her little plastic container of toiletries and stuff, which I guess she had been, you know, schlepping from the car into the guest bathroom every now and then, you know, just to have it with her, because it's not as much that he could put, you know, I talked to him the next day, a thing of her toothpaste in there because she used a different brand, or, you know, and a separate toothbrush and a thing of her shampoo. But there was about 10 different jars of ointments and lotions and pastes and gels, three of which we read the labels. We could not figure out what they were for. And it was, you know, and there were the ones that she would take with her very, very openly in her carry-all that would go back and forth. I'm not leaving this behind. It's not like I'm moving in, you know, she would say. But we would find a little extra stash behind the spare toilet paper. So, you know, there were these trails, these markings of territory. And I tell you, sometimes there were some tense explanations to other lady guests. It's like, where'd you get this? My mom left it. Really? Yeah. Anyway, so it happened, I guess. The markings, sure. Territory. Or just for convenience, you know. I've been out of AA batteries for my digital camera before, and so I stash them all over the place. This must be very similar.
Okay, so, all right. I've seen a film. It's kind of interesting. I think the crux of the film is the whole competition. There was a kind of a bet made between the two groups of the business people, Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson, of who could kind of withstand the pressure, you know, and not kind of give in to the whole love thing and be swept away by the other and keep it very meticulous and just for research purposes, because one guy, Matthew McConaughey, was an ad guy, and she was a writer for a magazine or something. So anyway, it was that. I mean, and that at least was kind of interesting because it kind of added another edge to it. But it was the whole, you know, the very pivotal point. They were at a Knicks game, and then right at the pivotal point, she goes, "No, can you go get me something to drink or whatever?" And he goes, "You don't understand, you know, I want something to drink, you know." And so he had to go, and he missed the, you know, best part of the game and all this kind of stuff. So, anyway.
Trials.
Yep.
Trials.
All right. So.
But, that was a test. I mean, you got to
know.
He's going to be gone, suffering, in these lines, going to a line at any kind of sporting event is an ordeal. Plus, they're going to take advantage of your pocketbook. But she put him to the test, and he jumped. He jumped. And I want to know, how many of you ladies say, damn right he should have? Or how many of you thought, okay, he's a wimp, ditch him for doing that?
Wow.
Was that tough?
Well, like, because I have to go on your description since I haven't actually seen it, so I don't know exactly the tone or how obnoxious she was or whatever.
Oh, she was.
Yeah, pretty obnoxious. You know, I mean, just a film is never within the lines. It's always, you know,
over the top.
So, yeah.
Well, if she was over the top, then he was a wimp, and yeah, that should have been the end of it.
Well, in the end, they both fell for each other, but they wouldn't really, you know, admit it to anybody, all this kind of stuff. So, all right, let's see. Pretty Woman. Anybody? We have the most balanced audience tonight.
I have never seen that movie.
Trials.
What's Pretty Woman? I don't know.
I mean, sure. Pretty Woman. I'm sorry. I have seen it, but... And this is just a personal problem I have. I do have problems at times watching Julia Roberts on screen. I don't get her. I think she pretty much plays the same role every time, which is the one she started in Pretty Woman. Sometimes she gussies it up and they give it a different name. I think it's a great story. I mean, it's the Cinderella story. It's the sleeping. It's so many stories about, you know, someone who's not in the ideal, you know, social group and class being able to move up through the power of love.
That's
now,
pretty well put.
Go ahead.
That's pretty well put, yeah.
Now, what I think is interesting is in a generally, you know, classified chick flick, the comedy is more subdued to me. It's never a Wedding Crashers, 40-year-old virgin, right through the roof, funny, just unbridled, you know, whatever side of the fence you think is funny. But chick flicks are always more kind of a mellow type of comedy. It's more cute comedy than...
It's usually situational comedy rather than slapstick comedy, I think is what you're trying to say.
Right.
Yeah.
It's slight slapstick, but not really. It's kind of like, eating a lobster and then, you know, flipping it over onto somebody else because she doesn't really know how to do that. And, you know, in the case of Pretty Woman, she's a prostitute, and so eating in a really nice restaurant, she's never done it. So, I mean, that whole kind of fish out of water story, that kind of a thing.
Which I would think that, you know, professional escort would eat in fancy restaurants a lot more than your typical housewife.
I guess I don't know.
I'll ask
okay.
Later.
Let's see. Another film I kept hearing over and over from different ladies in the office. Love Actually. Anybody?
Love Actually. Oh, that was a good one. That was a good one, but that was a British film, and that was like a much better written version of Sidewalks of New York. It was intelligent, I think.
Oh, Sidewalks of New York?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You haven't seen that. If you haven't seen that.
Love Actually.
If you haven't seen Sidewalks of New York, don't bother. It's really not worth it.
Oh, okay. Is it kind of like Mean Streets?
I haven't seen that one to know, but it's like a 6 degrees of separation that's all about what happens in the bedroom.
Okay. Well, Mean Streets is a Scorsese gritty film about New York people fighting and stuff.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right. Well, all right.
Ooh, they've got sexuality and nudity, so...
There you go.
Okie dokie. Yeah, all right. It's either that or National Geographic movie.
There you go.
Anyway, let's see here. Terms of Endearment always comes up as another tearjerker thing. Anybody? No?
Haven't seen that one.
Okay. Hope Floats, another one.
That's a chick flick. That's a little sappy.
Okay. Wedding Planner?
Wedding Planner, I only saw a portion of it. It was decent for what I saw of it.
Okay. Let's kind of come into the last mile here. Knowing what you know of guys and their limited intelligence, what would be... A good chick flick with kind of enough action or different things to kind of, what would be a good bridge between the two that has the story, you know, and the action? Maybe a little car crash and, you know, a deep conversation about, you know, the things of love or something.
I think Princess Bride takes the cake on that one.
Oh.
All
is
right.
Is that a chick flick?
See, technically it is, because you got the girl and you got the happily ever after, blah, blah, blah. But you've got all the sword fighting, all the great lines that you can quote to your friends later. There's fighting, you know, you don't have a car crash, but you have plenty of other action going on.
That's
sign
true.
Sign me up now. I officially love a chick flick. If I didn't have Netflix, I could just rewatch my Princess Bride once a week.
There you go.
Okay, Princess Bride, I enjoy that one. I love to hear that guy say inconceivable. I mean, I think that could be my cell phone ringer, you know. And the interchange about the poison cup, just that... That's really funny. And now Rob Reiner wrote that film.
Because you're Sicilian, I knew that you would think I was switched, so I switched it just so that you wouldn't know that it was switched.
Now,
but you don't know it.
Now, Rob Reiner wrote that film. Is that correct?
I don't
think
know.
So.
Okay. I'm going to say yes until I am challenged. So.
Okay.
All right, so that's pretty much it then. There's no other ones that kind of bridge the two.
Gosh, you know, I was just thinking about the one with Jamie Lee Curtis and Schwarzenegger. True Lies?
You know,
Halloween?
True Lies. You may have something to stand on maybe on that one. What do you think?
I don't know about that one. I haven't seen it.
Oh, my goodness. You have never seen True Lies?
There's a lot of movies I haven't seen. That does happen to be one of them, yes.
Oh.
I would pose this out there as a contender.
As another one to bridge the gap?
Right.
Wow.
You know, I mean, the reason I mention it is because, it, you know, in some respects it really is. I mean, yeah, they do spies and have a car chase or two and stuff like that, but it's about saving a marriage.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, so that is, if you haven't seen it, and Natalie, maybe you're the only one who hasn't seen it, I definitely say that I'm tossing this out there. This is a challenge to you. You should see the movie. It's really well done.
Okay, I'll have to do that.
And it does, go ahead.
No, continue. So I could go on to the next movie.
Well, no, I just it was very well done. It was very, very action packed, and there were some really, really funny scenes of her performing this little kind of strippy dance for him, and she doesn't know it's her husband, and he's kind of shocked that she knows how to do that, and it was really funny, and. They were both really nervous, and she fell down a couple of, it was funny. So, right.
Now, this is Jamie Lee Curtis and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Did I hear you right?
That is correct. That is what was said, and that those are the folks in the movie, yes.
I cannot fathom them as a couple. So I have to watch it not only because of your recommendation, but just to see how that operates.
Well,
Tom Arnold and Tia Carrere.
A very young Elijah Dushku.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Now I'm totally watching it.
I am surprised by that. I'll have to go rewatch it.
I did not know that. Wow.
And a very incredible version of Sunshine of Your Love by Living Color. So there you go.
I just love Living Color. Hey, you know, I wanted to mention, Jeff, there were two other movies thrown out as candidates. One... Pearl Harbor, and the other, Entrapment.
Entrapment was awesome, and I totally agree. That is a great bridge over movie.
Okay.
Can anyone explain
that one?
Yeah, I haven't even seen a preview for that thing. And I just sort of figured it's like Internal Affairs or Cruel Intentions.
I haven't seen either of those two to know if there's a good comparison there. But I, you know, I saw Entrapment on a plane. That was when I first saw it, when it was already, I don't know, if I guess it hit theaters. I never saw it in theaters, but I do own the movie now because I thought it was that great. And it's got the, it's sort of like the Italian Job without the whole crew. It's just the guy and the girl pulling it off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So
if you like Italian Job, I think you would totally like Entrapment.
Okay. I enjoy Pearl Harbor, and I would agree that that has both of the spectrums covered. Okay. Here's one
Sean
I'll just.
Connery. I could watch any movie with Sean Connery.
And that Catherine Zeta-Jones is in there too, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let me throw out the Legend of Zorro. Any takers?
Actually, I was just about to mention that one with the mention of Catherine Zeta-Jones. I think that would be an excellent bridging movie as well.
Okay.
We go back to sword fighting there.
Romantic, but also funny, a lot of action. You've got Antonio, you know, some people are into him. So, you know, yeah. And you know, I mean... Desperado really isn't a chick flick. It is just the most unbelievable action film you've ever seen in your life. Just, yeah. he is the luckiest shooter, thrower of knives person in the world in that movie. But anyway, okay, good. So we have a pretty big, you know, group of films that a man and a lady can go and watch and kind of, you know, maybe not at the same time, but there's certain parts where one would enjoy and other parts the other would enjoy.
Now, Jeff, I think we've got one that crosses over not just genders, but age groups.
Okay.
95 down to maybe 7.5. Someone's throwing out there the idea that Shrek might fall into this category.
Okay.
Huh. That might qualify, yeah.
Points, counterpoints. I mean, it's got a green monster. That's got to be good.
Okay. All right. Yeah, and actually getting back to Entrapment, it kind of goes against my whole theory about women in chick-type movies are more presented as, I would say, total... full beings with emotions and brains instead of just, you know, something to look at. That's nice. So, but Entrapment, you know, there's a lot of people that were saying, you know, Catherine Zeta-Jones looked very, you know, attractive in that movie and all this kind of stuff. So, anyway.
And intelligent too. Like she had to have her brain on to get away with the stuff that she got away with.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It was kind of, had all the sides covered as did True Lie. So it's, yeah. Okay. I unraveled my opinion, so I withdraw it now. okay, Shrek. Yeah, you're right. I would say that you know, would appeal to females, males, and then many different. So it's a family film.
Well, could you say every family film is a crossover, or some that the guys, you know, or even the women are just going to put up with just because. The kids dragged them there? I mean, maybe they just had a hankering to say...
Well, that could be. You know, but it's just interesting, and that's kind of what I was saying at the beginning, is the term cute is thrown around a lot. And it's almost a lady will use it as a description term to kind of win you over. Oh, come on, it's a cute movie. And you're like, but what does that mean? No, what is cute? You know, and then they hold up, you know, a little purse, and it's like, it's a 2-inch by 4-inch purse. Yeah, but it's cute. Is it because it's small? No, because it's pink. Oh, so it's a color. No, it's just cute. I don't know what cute means. I get confused. And
I think they mean funny. I think that's what they're reaching for.
Okay. All right. I married a woman, and yet she still... she still is a being that I have not really understood completely. There's still little things that, you know, cause me to ponder. So, yeah, that's what life's about, you know. You never know everything. You just learn as you go.
That's true.
All right. Okay, Shrek. Okay, that's good. That's another one in our grouping. Final words. I think we've had a fun discussion. I've learned some things, about chick flicks. So, any final words, Mr. Bill? Anything that maybe we missed or that you want to kind of bring up?
I think that there's a great I think there's a great trade-off to be had. You know, even a lot of times the things that we think are chick flicks or that girls think are guy flicks, whatever terminology you might want to use for that, that, you know, ultimately if we just take the chance to sit down and watch it, especially with the person that we care about, then chances are there's going to be something there that we're going to like. Maybe it's not the full 2 hours or 3 hours, but there's bound to be something that we can enjoy.
Yeah, and I just, I guess my point, too, is, oh, my gosh, it took an hour and the screen finally popped up. But anyway, it's just my point is that men and women are obviously different. They look for different things in sometimes the same movie, painting, whatever. That's my kind of my big question is what about a movie that's made for women? What do women kind of look for in it? What must it have sticks out of them that they go, oh yes, that really resonated with me? Was it, that's my life, or that's the way I feel? That's kind of a question that I still have is what makes a terms of endearment really stick out to somebody and what makes a hope float stick out to somebody else and that kind of a thing. I guess it's person to person to person, but I don't know.
I think that the ultimate common thread between most of those that we've talked about is that a lot of the chick flicks it's not just a happy ending, but it's also this sense of I made it. You know, whatever the goal was, whatever the dream was, whoever the guy might have been that they were chasing or whatever career, you know, that even if it was a really long, hard road and somebody died along the way, still they were able to stand in the end and make it.
Okay, so that reminds me of another one that we didn't talk about was that one with Melanie Griffith, Working Girl. That's the one.
Ah.
Now that's kind of a classic woman who wants to change her life, and you know she takes advantage not a bad way. She takes advantage of a situation to really kind of step beyond herself and be more than what she had ever really thought she could do, and just like you said, achieve a goal. Her back's against a wall. She has to do something because she can't go back to the jerk guy, you know. And she has this opportunity to really kind of use her brains and fall in love with Harrison Ford and at the time, but also to really show what she's made of, you know. So, I mean, that's another one. And, but yeah, you're right. I think it's, whether it's a movie like Enough or Working Girl, there's always this type of something within that of achievement. Can I do it? I think it's a sad thing. I'm not trying to kind of go misty on anybody. It's just like, a woman, I think, feels, in my opinion, that they always have to prove themselves. And I think that really shows in a lot of, well, not in many of the chick flick movies that we're talking about. I'm just as good as a man, or I can do it. I think that storyline is not just a chick flick. I think it's in a lot of different movies. It's always that the big game? Can we win the big game? Can we win the race? Can we figure out the you know, how to dismantle the bomb before it blows up? You know, we have a certain amount of time and all this kind of stuff. But, yeah, you're right. You know, and I think movies sometimes validate people, and they can validate women, you know, to do what they have to do. So.
And I think ultimately the guys enjoyed that notion as well. I mean, you see it in like the hockey movie Miracle and a lot of those things too, where you're right. I mean, it's a basic thing of, you know, we want to reach the goal and we want to come out on top and win the game. And I think the basic principle of what makes it different for chick flicks and non-chick flicks is that the game is just different. You know, in chick flicks, it's a more subdued game. And in non-chick flicks, the game is much more vibrant and over the top because it's either expressed through action or explosions or, you know, hands-on battle, whatever it might be. But ultimately, there's still a prize to be won, you know?
Right. And I would add one more thing to that is sometimes it is the breaking of a fantasy. And what I mean by that is, here's a good example, is Romancing the Stone. The writer, you know, writes about this man who she can't have and she dreams about, and then she meets this guy that kind of embodies that. She finds that this guy is, you know, just kind of a trickster. And but in the end, she, you know, is you know, riding the horse and doing all these things, and she finds out that he's just as scared as she is and all this kind of stuff. So that's kind of what I'm seeing, too, is that it's almost a crisscross, that a woman who kind of reaches for this guy, sometimes she finds that, you know, that maybe it's not this guy, but maybe it's, you know, her own self. And that's what she should be, is just strengthen her own self, and then she can find the right guy instead of, you know, the perfect guy or whatever. It's like in 8 and a Half, when the woman in white is always the one that the director is trying to find, you know, the elusive perfect person. So anyway,
true. Very true.
My God, I'm waxing poetic here. but anyway, you know, no, I mean, I think it's interesting to kind of break these films down into parts, and I think we can kind of see what people need, want, and are looking for. So anyway, I think it's interesting.
Certainly.
And the crowd goes wild. Well, this has been a very interesting discussion. I hope that those of you who are listening, you know, enjoyed it. I hope that no one thinks I'm just this big misogynistic, awful, chauvinistic person, because I'm really not. You know, I want these types of discussions on this show. I think that's really what's going to kind of make this show better and better and better, is to kind of bring in both sides. I mean, this show is not about football, you know, car crashes and all this kind of stuff. I think it's about talking about deep things, and, you know, sometimes it's about chick flicks. And so I think it's been an interesting show. And, I want to thank everybody for calling in, for listening. If you're not connected to the text chat screen, and thanks for participating. So with that, Mr. Buddy Bill, do you have any final words? Oh, boy.
Those are some powerful final words right there.
I would say that. Let's see. I can't see anything. Nope, I think he's gone. Well, let's see. I can't. Mr. Bill. Okay. Well, with that, We will end the show. I want to thank everybody for participating. We will do these types of things again. I think it was very fun to kind of get it together and text chat and discuss some things. And please come back. Please invite others to come back because we have a lot of great shows coming up. We're going to talk about high gas prices. We're going to talk about do some more game shows. And those are always a lot of fun. So there's a lot of more mileage on the Roni's Own Radio chat live. So thanks so much for sharing the evening, and we will see you all very soon. Take care. Bye-bye.